Rest of us will be in Psalm 33 this morning. I'm just going to make the assumption that most of you, if not all of you, recognized the names that were on that video. I'm kind of skeptical about the younger generations, whether or not they know those people or not. But we all should know them, and we should know who they are and how important they are to our nation, and to not only that, but more importantly, to the kingdom of God. These were all godly men. These were all men who believed in God. These were all men who trusted God. These are all men who allowed God to be their Lord in their lives, and as they governed and set up the governing system that we live under today. Okay? So before we get too far going into that, I want to have another word of prayer for you guys, and then we'll get into Psalm 33 and see what a nation blessed looks like and how that happens. So let's pray together. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that it means to us. I pray that those who are listening right now, Lord, that they would be blessed by your truth and by your words, by the truth of this Bible. Help us, Lord, to grow. I pray that they would continue to seek your will, continue to allow your spirit to work in their hearts so that they might have this truth applied in whichever way you see fit. Help us, Lord, to take that truth into the world and live it boldly. Help us to take it into the world and love people in a way that you would have us love people. Bless each one of us, Lord, as we look into your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week I talked about glory. I talked about how God, to God be the glory, how God not only deserves the glory in all things, but he desires the glory in all things. That's his goal. That's his existence. That's his purpose, is to be glorified in all things. He is the creator, after all, right? And I believe all of y'all heard the message last week and either silently or out loud said amen to it, because we do want God to be glorified. We know that he is the one who is above all and is all, right? His authority reigns over all of his creation, whether we like it or not. Whatever he does in this world or through our lives is for his glory, including our very own salvation that we receive by his grace. It's by his grace that I'm saved from the sins that I've committed against him, and it's all for his glory. Isn't that amazing? Today, we're going to take another step in looking at how he is to be glorified and just what an amazing thing that God has done over the years with his believers. This is just one of the many, many examples of how God has provided opportunity for his creation to glorify his name. Namely, the creation of the United States of America. And how that all played out. Now, I'm not going to go through a history lesson with you guys. I'm not going to go through the details of wars and meetings and disputes and the things that everyone had to overcome throughout the generations in this country for us to experience the freedoms that we live and enjoy, that we, you know, that we enjoy in this part of the world. But I am going to read from Psalm 33 and share with you why and how a nation is blessed. And we're going to I want you to think about the men who were on the video that we just watched, the quotes that were put up there, and the things that they said. Everything that was quoted on that screen was a man giving glory to his God for the blessings, giving credit to the one who deserves the credit. Even though each one of those men had a great responsibility and a position of importance in the world. So I want to read from the first. Let me just read. You're going to have to open up your Bibles, because there's a lot of scripture and I didn't put it on the screen. You can look on your Bible and read along. Make some notes if you like. Psalm 33, let's look at the first 12 verses where it says, "Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord." Verse 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples." Verse 11, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation." And now in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." I was reading Psalm 33 and thinking about the freedoms that we celebrate in July of every year, and thinking about the men that we just quoted from who were involved in following the Lord and his guidance, leading us to freedom, leading us to this great nation that God has created, that God has allowed to exist in the way that it does. I'm just an old fella born in Lamar County, Alabama, because that's where my parents lived when I was born. That's the only reason that I get to be an American and a citizen of this country. We could have lived in some other part of the world and I would have totally missed out on the blessings that are afforded by the freedoms in this country. But for some reason or another, this was God's will for my life and for each one of you that are citizens of this great nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. Not blessed is the nation who acknowledges God and his existence. Not blessed is the nation who has a Bible in their house. Not blessed is the nation who cries out to him when things are bad and never any other time. Not blessed is the nation who believes that they deserve any of God's blessings. No, no. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. That means the nation or the group of people who allow God to be Lord of their lives, of their existence. That means he's in charge. It's his game. It's his deal. It's his kingdom. It's his authority. And if you look at the quotes that we saw just before we got started, that's what I hear these men saying. It's by God's grace that we can even think to govern a nation. It's by God's grace that we can even think to have wisdom to make decisions over this great responsibility that God has given us over this land and these people. It's only by God's grace that we can even endure the hardships that had to happen in order for this nation to begin to exist. Because God is Lord. And when we think about that, we think about these 12 verses and we reflect on the freedom that sometimes we take for granted. And we think to ourselves, what if God, our Lord, was not the loving God that we know him to be? What if he was this domineering, iron-fisted God whose wrath was unleashed every day? None of us would ever know freedom if that were the case. but because of His love and His grace, because of His willingness to be patient with His people, because His desire is that we be blessed. All of what I just read in these 12 verses speaks of righteous. He's talking about the righteous ones, the upright, those who worship Him. That's what these leaders did in the beginning. By putting Him first, by calling Him Lord, by letting Him lead them, that's worship. That's serving a God who deserves to be served. That's bringing glory to the one who created us all, the one who brings freedom into our lives in many ways. It also spoke of God's word and His faithfulness and His love as a fact. You see, too many people in the world, even in this country, in this free country, too many people believe that if they just say they don't believe something, then it's just not true then. But God, the Creator, our Lord, the one who sent Jesus to die for us, He's Lord, He's the Creator, He's God of all things, regardless of what we believe or don't believe, what we accept or don't accept. And praise the Lord, there were men and women along the way who were setting up this country who knew that and allowed Him to be Lord, which ushered in the blessings of freedom that we all know so well. The high price that was paid for that kind of freedom. You ever think about that? Freedom. Not just freedom in this country, not just free. We're free to go about and do whatever we want in this country. That's why everybody in the world wants to come here. Because it ain't like this in a lot of places in the world, in any place in the world, really. But it's also true about the freedom we have in Christ, y'all. If we don't know the freedom in Christ that comes through Jesus as our Savior, which God is Lord over as well, then it doesn't matter what freedom you have experienced in this world, because you're lost in your sin. Verse 12 is so key. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. Blessed is the community whose God is Lord. Blessed is the church, the congregation whose God is Lord. Blessed is the house, the home whose God is Lord. Blessed is the man, woman, or child whose God is Lord in their hearts. That's the truth of God's word, y'all. I want to read this real, I say real quick, but I'm not sure I can, because it's we don't speak like this in today's world that I know of. But I want to read this because our forefathers, they understood this. They understood the truths of God's word, not just because somebody told them, but because they dwelled in the word every day. They prayed every day. They had a relationship with our God just like we try to do. It's evident because God's word and God's truth is all over our nation. I came across this short speech from Benjamin Franklin as they were gathering together to, they had this convention to create the Constitution. And they were struggling with it for weeks. They were going back and forth, debating and deciding and giving opinions and giving facts and sharing information and shooting each other down. And it was hard and it was stressful and they weren't making any progress. So Benjamin Franklin one day stood up and gave this speech. So he talks in a way that we don't normally talk. So hopefully I'll read it where you can hear it. At least hear what he's saying. He stood up and he said, "Mr. President, the small progress we have made after 4 or 5 weeks, close attendance and continual reasonings with each other, our different sentiments on almost every question, several of the last producing as many no's as yeas, Is me thinks a melancholy proof of the imperfection of the human understanding. We indeed seem to feel our own want of political wisdom, since we have been running about in search of it. We have gone back to ancient history for models of government and examined the different forms of those republics which have been formed with the seeds of their own disillusion now no longer exist. And we have viewed modern states all around Europe, but find none of their constitutions suitable to our circumstances. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of lights to illuminate our understandings? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that built it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests, our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future age. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg to leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. I know it was long, but it was necessary to hear at least what one of these men saw fit to say in the middle of trying to get this constitution that we love so dearly, I hope, that gives us our freedom, trying to turn it over to God, trying to remind his brothers, his fellow politicians, his fellow new Americans at the time, to remind them of just who it is that's in charge of it all. And as I read this speech, and as I read what Benjamin Franklin said to these men in the middle of an assembly over the Constitution, I thought about our Wednesday night Bible study. We're talking about Joshua. There was a moment when Joshua and the rest of his leaders decided to make decisions without consulting God about it. And because of it, they did not have the favor of the Lord. They did not have the victory that comes with the Lord. They did not have good things as a result. They made bad, terrible mistakes in that moment, Joshua did. Benjamin Franklin at the time was saying, hey, Are we going to just act like the Lord didn't provide for us throughout this whole battle with Great Britain? Are we just going to act like the Lord, our God, wasn't faithful in His protection and His guidance and His blessings through it all, as if we're going to write this important document by our own wisdom and we're not going to even check with Him? And thank the Lord that He said things like that. And I'm pretty confident that He wasn't the only one talking that way. And the next thing you know, all these so many years later, you and I still, whether we can see it or not, we still live in this freedom. And every one of you, just like me, is like, well, I wonder how long that's going to last. Because it's getting bad, isn't it? And freedom is only a moment away from disappearing if we take our eyes off of our Lord. Let's look at the rest of this. Sorry. Let's look at the rest. I got excited about reading that. Sorry. Look at verse 13. I'll read the rest all the way to verse 21. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From His dwelling place He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, He who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. In verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul, verse 20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. The people who were involved in God's blessing way back in the late 1700s, I believe understood this about our God. I believe were surrendered to the best of their ability to God and His lordship over whatever they were doing. They were trying to get away from people who would not allow them to worship God in this way. They wanted freedom to be free. And they were willing to not only seek it out, but to fight for it, whatever it took to be in the will of God. Whatever it took. The key to it all for them, as God, it shows in the first 13 to 17, it shows how God oversees it all. He sees what's happening in all situations. And it's not because we have a great nation full of warriors. It's not because we have all of the weapons that we have to be stronger than the rest of the world. It's because God is our God. Is why we're free, a free nation. It's because He's our Lord. But look at verse 18, y'all. He says, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. Now, it is proper to see, to look around the world today and see, right? Because we're celebrating our independence. We're celebrating freedom in this country. That's what we do in America, in the United States of America. That's what we do every July on the 4th and every day before and after until we run out of fireworks. And it's proper. But I don't think it's proper to do that as if it's always the same. And we never see the danger of it maybe going away because the people in our nation are turning away from God and they no longer fear Him. And church, we are the ones, the body of Christ in America, are the only ones that are going to get people to understand this. We're the only ones that are going to get this nation back to where God is Lord and that this nation as a whole fears Him. It's if the church goes out and does what the church is supposed to do. That's the only way. Now, we can elect some godly people. That'd be great. In fact, maybe we can get involved in some way if the Lord leads us to do that in the governing of this nation. But if we just go in and put our vote in for those who are leading our nation these days, and then say we've done our part, and never pray for them, never lift them up to the Lord, never pray that God would get all of our attention and put the fear of the Lord back in this country, we're going to continue down the same road we're going down, and then the things that these men and women did in the 1700s and 1800s are in vain. How dare we even think about throwing away such a blessing that came from our Lord? So when we have our celebrations, I think it's proper to lift up the name of the Lord and glorify Him and praise Him for the many blessings that we still experience today. It's not as bad as it feels, because it could be a lot worse. But it's not as great as it once was. Because the fear of the Lord seems to be diminishing. Remember over here in verse 5, where it says He loves righteousness and justice. And right after that it says, the earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. It says that as a statement. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but these last several years at least, it's been like, man, there's so much hate going on around here. There's so much darkness exposing itself. There's so many people that are just living as if God doesn't exist. And promoting it to every generation as if they're not going to answer to the Lord. And it makes me wonder, it makes us all wonder, it's like, where is God's love? Where is it all happening? And it can become depressing. And it could cause us to feel like we're not free anymore. I remember saying to my own son and to some of my same age friends, I miss the way it was when I was growing up in this country. I miss the freedoms that were there. I miss that the majority of society said, these things are not right because they don't honor God. But now we live in a society where what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right, as if there's no reason to fear the Lord. And society is doing it totally oblivious to the fact that that very thing is what makes freedom and blessing disappear. So it's not about our country, is it? It's not about the United States of America, is it? It's about our God. It's about our Lord. It's always about our Lord. The great nation of America, the United States of America, as great as it is, we would all surely die for it because we love it so. But even the existence of the United States of America, God intends to bring glory to Himself with. And if it doesn't bring glory to Him, then it will not exist. Not because He doesn't love, but because the people don't fear Him. So we got to go out into the world, y'all. This is how I'm going to finish this up. We got to go out into the world just like our forefathers did, just like the previous Americans did. We go into the world and we stand up and say, God is Lord. Nobody is going to change my mind. And if America's going to be great, if America's going to be the blessing that God intended for it to be, then it needs to be under His terms. For the last several years, as we celebrate 4th of July, my wife and I, we do something different every year. We go hang out with some people, or sometimes we go by ourselves and watch some fireworks or do whatever. And there's mixed emotions. Proud to be an American. Overwhelmed by the blessing that God has offered us. But saddened by the great number of people who don't seem to understand where it comes from. And what even makes me angry is there are people who will spend the entire weekend blasting off fireworks and having cookouts and getting themselves drunk on whatever alcohol, saying it's a great holiday, and have no idea what they're celebrating because they don't know God. And it's just another reason to go out and make a fool out of yourself, just like every other holiday. So I'm just saying this to encourage you this weekend, this Tuesday, this 4th of July, not only prayerfully consider what's going on, not only prayerfully worship the Lord and give Him praise and glory for the blessings that still exist, but also lay yourself at the feet of His throne and plead for His mercy and His grace over this nation. I'm going to finish with verse 22 as a prayer for the church, a prayer for our nation, a prayer for the people that live in this world. It says, "Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you." That prayer, that statement, is asking for what's already existing all over the world, according to verse 5. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. So we're saying to God, "Let your loving kindness be upon us." Not just for me, not just for my home, not just for my neighborhood, not just for my church, but for the world, the whole nation. So that we could not only be free, but we could also be men and women of God again. Don't forget the last part where it says, "according as we have hoped in you." These men and women who were part of this great nation in the beginning, they didn't just love God because the Bible told them to. They had a relationship with God. They had a promise from God. They were living in the freedoms that come with Christ in their hearts. They were free to love God. They were free to honor God. They were free to call on His name. They were free to go about the world and love people because of Jesus. And they understood that. So when they talked about freedom, I'm pretty confident that's what they had in their minds. When we talk about freedom, I wonder. I don't mean just we. I mean we as a nation. Because when I talk to general population about freedom, they talk about the freedom to say what I want to say, believe what I want to believe, drive what I want to drive, live where I want to live, work where I want to work. That's not the freedom that we're dealing with here, right? That's not the freedom that Jesus died for. It's not the freedom that God ordained for this nation. The freedom that God ordained for this nation was the freedom to glorify His name by the way that we live in this world. Can't do it if we don't serve Him. Can't do it if we don't magnify Him with our lives. Can't do it if we don't worship Him by the way that we live, talk, and breathe. Sometimes you can worship the Lord by just being quiet, y'all. Try not to look at any one person when I say that. I love you and the Lord loves you. Thank God for America. Thank God for the freedoms that we have. I say we pray together. If you have a decision to make, you're not saved, you're not free. Be free today. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, but that's only after repentance. Then you can enjoy the freedom that God wants you to enjoy.